already 20 days in to this incredibly crucial and critical midterm election year. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. So Glenn Youngkin took office as governor of Virginia last week, 2.5 months after his huge upset win over Terry McAuliffe. So this is a really good chance for us to stop and slow down and take a look in and assess the situation of the Republican Party and what we need to look for in all of the elections that'll be held this year. Very important elections. And it's pretty clear why Youngkin won. Youngkin won by running on issues that Republican fossil establishment GOP weak, spineless, feckless imposters tried to avoid before the last few years. 10 years ago, Republicans were too ignorant or too terrified or too complicit to talk about anti-white racism in our schools or the diversity scam. In fact, they disliked talking about issues like education at all. All they wanted to talk about was taxes and the economy, and then they do some pandering on social issues, but they always failed to deliver once they were in office. Every time. And we're hoping that that's changing. Youngkin beat McAuliffe precisely because he confronted him on all the anti-white hatred being pushed in our schools. He beat him because he fought back against the COVID tyranny in Virginia. He didn't just let the race be about jobs and marginal tax rates. And does Youngkin actually believe in the new agenda? Well, we hope so, but it's too early to tell. But honestly, it doesn't necessarily even matter if he believes in it at all. It's just as important if he's nakedly ambitious, and finally realizes this is how a Republican can win in a purple state or even in a blue state. So Youngkin manned up. He signed 11 executive orders on his first day in office. The first one orders critical race theory out of the state's public schools. Get rid of that racist, filth, nonsense, garbage. Gone with you. The second one revokes all of the mask mandates for state public schools. Another one orders a full investigation of the covered up sexual assaults by a non-binary student in Loudoun County schools. That's all good. Terrific. Very good. Another good move is that Youngkin immediately took down this diversity, inclusion, and equity portion of the Virginia government website. Good riddance. But issuing executive orders is really relatively easy. Really delivering, that takes focus. And that takes time. For example, in Northern Virginia, Arlington, Alexandria, and Fairfax public schools are saying they're going to keep their mask mandates in place. We're going to strap these kids up with oxygen-inhibiting, socially detrimental, psychologically damaging, bacteria-filled masks, regardless of the governor's order. So here's his first test. Does Governor Youngkin have balls? He's the governor. And by the way, the GOP controls the state house. So what's he going to do in response? Here's an idea. Why should anyone pay taxes to have their children abused and terrorized by public school administrators and tyrannical teachers? They shouldn't. If I were governor, I would just cut off their tax revenue completely until they adopt policies that don't abuse children. That'd be a start. And here's another concern. Right after taking down this diversity webpage, Governor Youngkin went and appointed a new diversity and inclusion cabinet post anyways. That's weak, and it's pandering, and it's stupid. Get rid of the office and stop letting every left-wing overreach become permanent. So that's the challenge that we're facing this year. The Biden administration is falling apart completely. Republicans can make huge gains. The America First movement is huge. The party is improving, but a lot of the candidates still don't understand exactly what it is that they need to do, or they're too frightened to really do it. Or they're still surrounded by clueless advisors and comms specialists and grifters who push them in the wrong direction. Speaking of grifters, listeners to this program know that Vernon Jones is a grifter. He's a racist sexual predator trying to scam GOP voters as a fake MAGA believer and Christian. But there's alternatives. One of those alternatives has been endorsed by me personally and by this program, Candace Taylor, and she joins us now. This is a Marxist coup d'etat that took place on November 3rd of last year. We have learned that they have been cheating over and over again. We haven't elected representatives. We have selected representatives. They've been selected for us. There is a communist takeover happening in this country without a shot being fired, and state executives absolutely have the authority to confront it and eradicate it, don't they?
Absolutely, yes. They have all the authority every single time. So are they going to use it, or are we going to pretend and then go back and go change what we did out in front, but behind the scenes change it? That's the stuff I'm talking about, and I'm sick of. That's what we see every single time. They say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and they go in the back room with their buddies, and they change their mind, and they all come out as a unified front and don't do what they said they were going to do for the people. And we're all sick of that. And I've been slammed for calling them out, not by the people, but by the establishment, the GOP, the RNC, the people affiliated with them, and say, Candace, you know, you are making headway, but you might want to calm down what you're saying because you have to work with them. I said, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to represent the people. I'm one of the people. I'm running because I'm not being represented right now. And I'm going to go in there and I'm going to do the will of the people every single time. And I will not bend my knee and I will not bow down to tyranny. This is America. We're a constitutional republic and we're going to represent the people.
One of these things recently happened at some event that you were at, and you confronted some guy who doesn't have a backbone at all. And you were giving your speech and you said something about having a backbone. And then this guy gets off the stage and points right at you and yells at you, and I do have a backbone. And then you said, well, then use it. And this is the example that you're talking about. This is when the GOP and the establishment fossils and these weak parasites who have infiltrated this Republican Party and call themselves conservatives, but they're fake. That's when they confronted you and told you to calm down your rhetoric. You struggled to get the voter rolls and the database from Georgia because you're an outsider candidate. So to these people, you know, what do you say?
I say that we're coming for you. We're coming for your seat. You're not going to keep it. You're not going to stay in it. The people are awake. We're doing grassroots all over the state of Georgia. We started door knocking today. We have 50,000 door knockers. We're ordering more as we speak this week. We're going to door knock all over the state. We have about 600,000 votes we need that'll be cast in this election. We need about 250,000, 300,000 of those. We're going to get them. We're going to win. We're going to win because the people have had enough. You look at Biden's approval rating. Look at Kemp's approval rating. All these polls that are coming out are a joke. They're a joke. The people of Georgia will speak and they will get representation like them. Not just me, not just Candace Taylor, every single seat. I have people on my team that are volunteers that are now running for state house and state senate because what they have seen happen to me and what they have seen these lazy, weak beta males do in our government and not do the will of the people, not get an audit, not stop these mandates, not protect their jobs and health care, forcing vaccines on them. The people of Georgia are sick and tired.
You know, that's so synonymous with what we do here at this show. You know, a leader like myself is responsible for encouraging people to become active in actually affecting change. I mean, we're saving lives over here. Scott Quiner, a good example, working on another one, Charles Hughes. And as a result, that becomes contagious. And it's not just Merciless Hospital here in Minnesota, and it's not just St. Mary's Hospital in Huntington, West Virginia, that are taking note of this. They're seeing that this is becoming effective all over the country, and that's what makes this program a threat, which is why we're constantly attacked religiously every single day by these communist rags like the Daily Beast and the USA Today and Newsweek and the Rolling Stone, because they know, they recognize this Stu Peters Show thing is a threat. And that encourages other people then to have the spine and the backbone when they have a leader who's fearless to rise up alongside of them and get in the trenches and get in the foxhole and fight these communists shoulder to shoulder alongside of me. And I could not do it without them. So I know what you're talking about. You're leading and you're willing to take the chinks to your armor and get out there. Now, let's talk about this. These people, David Perdue, for example, this guy is the reason why we have Twinkie Boy John Ossoff and the Satan-worshipping preacher Reverend Raphael Warnock in Georgia. He's now got the Trump endorsement. We don't need people with establishment ties and with RNC GOP loyalty and with huge corporate donors and special interests. He can easily be bought. He already has been. He gets elected governor. The governor's office is owned by the very globalists that we're trying to tear down and destroy and dismantle.
There's no difference in him and Kemp. No difference. There, absolutely none. I don't know what President Trump was thinking, except that he had name recognition and he's a multimillionaire and he can self-fund. That had to have been it, because David Perdue has ties to China. When he worked for Dollar General and Sara Lee, he gave thousands of jobs, Georgia jobs, to China. He traded $250,000 to Pfizer when COVID was being announced to the world. I mean, come on. He's no different. He didn't campaign for his own seat. He didn't even show up for the debate. John Ossoff debated an empty chair in Georgia. This critical seat that flipped the Senate, David Perdue did not show up for the debate. Get that in your head. He didn't show up. Why? Was he scared? If he's scared of John Ossoff, he better get ready and hold fast, because he's going to be scared of this one, because I'm going to call him out on every single thing. I'm tired of the pandering. You don't get to deserve this seat. It's not your seat. The seat belongs to the people of Georgia. You don't get owed anything. I don't care if your cousin was Sonny Perdue and he was a governor two terms. I don't care if you think, well, it's my turn. I'm in my 70s and I decided I want to be the governor and I'm going to take the seat. This seat belongs to the people of Georgia. We're going to get a fighter, not somebody in there to hold the title and do nothing but make money.
I've had conversations with Candace, just for the viewers, personal conversations off the record, because I've endorsed her. And I want to know, what are your plans? I mean, that is my right to know that as somebody with a public platform who's endorsed you publicly. I stand behind you. And the reason is because when we have these conversations, Candace is completely against all of this COVID tyranny, right down to the little stickers on the floor that force people to stay a certain distance away from other people. It's insanity. And you're going to rid of all of that, and you're going to sanction people who do even the smallest things to inflict their tyranny on the people of Georgia. It should be a choice if somebody's going to go get these shots or if they want to go have ivermectin. Not some pharmacist who wants to withhold it when they have a valid prescription, for crying out loud, from a doctor, from a licensed doctor in your state. And, you know, so you're going to handle that. And then constitutional carry, gun rights, the Second Amendment shall not be infringed. And you're going to take care of all that. I mean, so I've got about a minute left here. I just want you to run down. What are you going to do day one, first 100 days as governor of Georgia when you win?
Yeah, constitutional carry, no mandates. COVID brainwashing will cease. We will not go into a public place and be brainwashed with COVID anymore. I'm sick of it. We have to move on. We have to live life. Our children are now being raised and indoctrinated in insanity. It has to stop. But one of the front runner things in my campaign is getting rid of critical race theory, social emotional learning, and comprehensive sex education, which teach communism and oppression to our children. It's going to be taken out immediately. We have people in our elected offices that are saying it doesn't exist in Georgia. And I've got parents all over the state sending me examples of homework and instruction from their Georgia classrooms where it does in fact exist. Quit lying to the people of Georgia. Prison reform, mental health reform. We're going to do whatever the will of the people is. And yes, talking about taxes, income tax. Georgia's the 8th strongest economy, but we have Texas and we have Tennessee and we have California and we have Florida that have a stronger economy. And Florida and Tennessee and Texas do not have income tax. It works for them. It can work for Georgia. Does Minnesota have income tax?
Yes. Yeah. I'd love to get rid of it. It's nonsense. Yeah. There's absolutely no reason at all that there should be an income tax in your state. None. She wants to liberate Georgia, folks. She wants to fight for Georgia. CandaceTaylor.com. She needs your help. You got to go there and you got to donate. You got to give her money because she doesn't have the GOP and the RNC and big establishment global interests and the CCP backing her. It's her and it's you, the Georgians. And she can take donations from all over the country. We have to start having in the 50 Club, the 50 most powerful people in this country, we have to start having real leaders because we're a republic of states. And absolutely, the state executives have the authority to stop, confront, and tear down the CCP and this communist takeover agenda. Candace Taylor, God bless you, and thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Cancel culture has not only affected myself and MyPillow, but also millions of you out there. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you for all your support. At MyPillow, we have hundreds of products now, including my new slippers, bathrobes, sleepwear, and my new beds. We are offering the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have the standard size MyPillows, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size, regularly $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive these exclusive offers. Thank you and God bless.
Over the past week, we have been focusing on how abusive these hospitals are, mistreating and killing, arguably torturing and executing unvaccinated COVID patients who come into their care. We've been following Scott Quiner in Minnesota all week. We also just told you about Charles Hughes in West Virginia. That case is ongoing. And now here is another. Scott Shera is the father of a 19-year-old daughter with Down syndrome, Grace, who he believes was murdered, killed by her hospital. Grace had COVID, but even then, Scott says she would have been fine. He believes that she was killed by a combination of questionable medications given to her by hospital staff. Grace was labeled as a DNR, do not resuscitate, against her family's wishes, and then was overdosed on a combination of Presidex, lorazepam, and morphine, all within a 30-minute period. Scott joins us now. Scott, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Stu.
Lorazepam and morphine all within a 30-minute window sounds like something somebody would take to intentionally kill themselves.
Well, when you study those meds, you see that in fact would be the case. And as the doctor that we're working with to make some sense out of this, I'll just read what she wrote because it does better than what I can do. She said, these meds, so the three that you just mentioned on their own, have an increased risk of serious life-threatening breathing problems and cardiac arrest, and there's an additive effect when used in combination. To use them like they did in a person with a diagnosis of acute respiratory distress is beyond believable as to intention.
So when Grace went to the hospital, did she go there because she was having issues breathing? Did they want to ventilate her? Take us through that process. And by the way, where was this? What hospital was this at and what city and state?
This was at St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Okay. Right next door to us here in Minnesota. So Take us through how all this came about.
Well, we were on the frontline doctor's protocol relative to COVID. We did a home test for COVID on Grace on October 1st. She started having symptoms around the 28th of September. And so we were following the protocol. She was on ivermectin. We had a nebulizer. So everything seemed to be going fine. And then around day 9, we were testing her oxygen consistent with the protocol. And we couldn't maintain her oxygen above 90 oxygen saturation. So we took her to urgent care, which that led to the emergency room because the blood work in urgent care showed she had a high D-dimer. And just a quick side note on that type of situation, there is a small percentage of the population, and I was in that same percentage. I ended up in the hospital 3 days after Grace died, that even if you're doing everything perfect relative to the preventive protocol or the protocol from frontline doctors, you can still end up in the hospital because of certain microclotting and inflammation that happens in a small percentage of people. So we ended up in the emergency room. They did a CT scan to see if there was clotting, and that came back negative. So that was fortunate. But then they recommended that we check her into the hospital. And, you know, if I knew today, or I knew then what I know today, of course, we wouldn't have checked Grace into the hospital, because she could have came home by them prescribing oxygen and she would have made it through this. We know a lot more today is the bottom line.
So have you talked with an attorney about looking into this? I know that you said that you've spoken with another independent doctor who has advised you. Have you lawyered up? Are you going to be going after this hospital in Wisconsin?
Outstanding question. We've talked with a couple of attorneys, and you can't believe this, but Wisconsin state statute does not allow a claim. Grace was 19, so she was an adult, and to have a claim, you need to Grace would have had to have been under 18 or under, and or have children or be married. Otherwise, there's no claim.
Hold on a minute. There's no exception for a person who has to be looked after even as an adult because of a mental health diagnosis?
Unfortunately, no. It's called loss of companionship. And by state statute, there's no loss of companionship.
Well, that needs to change immediately. That's ridiculous. That needs to be looked at by this governor, Evers, this communist over here in Wisconsin. That needs to be changed immediately. That is absolutely asinine. I have a Down syndrome aunt who has passed on. Jeannie, she needed constant care throughout her entire adult life. She, you know, high functioning people, very smart people, but they need to be looked after, not capable of making decisions on their own. And when left alone or unsupervised or in the hands of somebody who you believe that you can trust, which is a hospital, because like you said, you didn't know then what you know now. This is all just now coming out that this is being done in lockstep. For nefarious and what appears to be diabolical reasons, that needs to change. That really shocks me. So these attorneys have advised you that you can't do anything. We're going to ask Tom Renz about it anyways. There has to be something that can be done here. We're going to talk to him about this.
Yeah, it actually gets worse than the loss of companionship claim, because what about the malpractice claim? So we have talked with what we learned was maybe the best attorney in the state. And he told us that even in slam dunk cases like this appears to be, that there's only a 1 in 10 chance. And the reason there's only a 1 in 10 chance is these doctors circle the wagons around their own, and you just can't win. And there's a limit to the liability regardless of $350,000. Well, you know, that is for an organization like Ascension. That's a 142 hospital organization. That doesn't do anything, assuming you even win.
I don't even want to call them doctors, but did these people at this, I don't even want to call it a hospital, did these people in this death camp explain to you at all why they would use Presidex, lorazepam, and morphine all within a 30-minute window? Did they explain, how do they justify that?
Well, it's pretty crazy when you think about it, because that morning, Grace's last day was October 13th. At 8 o'clock in the morning, the doctor called us and told us how great of a day Grace had the day before, which we knew because her sister Jessica was in as an advocate. And so he said, because she was doing so well, I think we should do a feeding tube. So we agreed to the feeding tube, and all the while they're ratcheting up this Presidex as a sedative. So Grace was getting more and more out of it. They claim that the reason that they did the morphine at the end was because she was breathing at 51 breaths a minute. So they were using the morphine to slow the breathing down. But when you look at what they were doing with the other meds, you know, they were trying to slow something down that they created. You know, it doesn't make any sense. We got a call at 6:45 p.m. then from the same doctor that also said how that Grace had a good day. And this was at 6:45. It was just a few minutes after he had just administered the morphine that killed her, 45 minutes after you're off the phone with him.
How are you doing? I mean,
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, emotionally, I'm about 50%. Certain days, like yesterday, I sense God getting me up early and getting a lot of work done. And it's work towards the situation with Grace. We're working on this every single day. Certain days, it's not as good as other days. Emotionally, this is tough. I mean, she was my best buddy. Grace was high functioning. We went deer hunting together. She could drive a car. She was just, she had a sense of humor beyond belief. She was like an angel walking around with you. She was just a great kid. So, I mean, I miss her terribly.
Man, I'm really sorry. What's your advice for people now, knowing what you know, and in this situation, who are dealing with, you know, the choice whether or not to go into the hospital when it gets tough, what to do? What have you learned that alternatives could have been in order to prevent this tragedy?
Well, first, yeah, there's several things that we've learned. First is that at any time, don't get into the mindset of trusting the white coat, because that mindset blinds you to what's happening right in front of your eyes, and it definitely blinded me. I was the advocate from Wednesday through Sunday before they kicked me out. And, you know, a lot of things happened. I challenged a lot of things. I got kicked out for challenging things, but still, I missed a lot because I was blinded by the white coat. I would have never thought that their agenda was to take her out. You know, that's my personal belief under the idea of allocation of care. I think you've had one of the doctors on from Truth for Health that has explained that succinctly. So the other things that we've learned would be, if you need to go to the hospital, and that's objective. So remember, in Grace's case, I don't think that was objective. So they recommended it, but I know now we could have brought her home on a prescription for oxygen and possibly a steroid if she needed that. And I believe she would have got well at home. So if you objectively need to go to the hospital, make sure that you have an advocate. You're entitled to an advocate, and don't ever get into that room without an advocate. We were there, myself and then my daughter Jessica, after I got kicked out, and look what happened. So think about what happens if there's not an advocate in that room. So you've got to have an advocate.
Yeah, and there, sure, we're going to be talking to a few of them. One of them, Priscilla, who has been a huge, huge integral part of a critical part of getting Scott Quiner from Minneapolis down to Texas. I'm sure that you've been following that story. We're going to talk to Annie Quiner and get an update from Scott Quiner here shortly as well. Scott, we so much appreciate you coming here and having the bravery and the courage and I don't know how you mustered the strength to come and talk to us, but it's very important that you do that and that you keep talking so that people understand exactly what it is that's going on here in these so-called hospitals with these so-called doctors. Thank you very much. God bless you. We'll be praying for you.
Thank you, Stu.
The Stu Peters Show is brought to you in part by StepOnSocks.com. Founded by patriots, high-quality all-cotton socks, real silver, and flags. Use promo code STU when you visit StepOnSocks.com/Stu. The medical mafia is ripping life-saving medication off the shelves, overwhelming the system.
You will not fill ivermectin for COVID.
That's against the law.
No, actually it's not.
While communist doctors are doing everything they can to withhold care from patients in need.
Vaccination, Jim, has been the solution to every major public health issue. But when you have a virus that's circulating in the community, and you are not vaccinated, you are part of the problem.
But there's hope. Dr. Stella Emanuel is saving lives with early treatments that are proven to work.
I just want to let everybody know, in America, you don't have to get sick. You don't have to wait till you get sick. Everybody needs to have ivermectin hydroxychloroquine in their medicine cabinet.
Dr. Stella is taking patients today. Go to drstellamd.com and use promo code STU to book an appointment and get life-saving meds sent straight to your doorstep. No hassle, no Fauci, only compassion. drstellamd.com.
promo code STEW.
Well, it's been almost a week since Scott Kwiner was rescued from Mercy Hospital in Coon Rapids, Minnesota, and flown to Texas to be treated by a doctor who isn't eager to kill him. Now, obviously, there's still a long road to recovery, but we're very hopeful that with real care, Scott will eventually wake up and even join us on this program. For an update, we join Annie Kwiner now. I know that you're busy, so thank you very much for coming here to address the audience that feels like they are largely in part responsible for helping to make this happen. So what does it look like? What have you heard? I know that you just got off the phone with the hospital. Give us the latest on Scott.
I just got off the phone with a nurse, and they're going to do a endoscopy. They had said that they had noticed that he has been losing blood, and they didn't know if he had an ulcer. What was interesting is I went back to Scott's chart, and when they discharged him from the first hospital, at the end of the chart, it said ulcer. So I don't understand why they never addressed that, but I don't know until they actually do the endoscopy. They did give him some blood, and it's up to 9.6 now, because it was kind of dropping down. It was at the sevens and then went up to the eight. So now it's good. Last night, his blood pressure was dropping. They did try a bolus of something. It didn't work. So they gave him some fluids, but now they're giving him like a nasal pressure or something like that. So his blood pressure is now stable and normal.
How's his oxygen? How about the ventilator? What's his brain activity like? Can you update us on like kind of the whole broad scope of things?
Yeah. Well, yesterday I was in there. His oxygen was still up at the 90s. The nurse actually told me it was up to 96.
Wow.
But I wasn't. Incredible. Yeah, but I wasn't. Yeah. So that was phenomenal. And his brain activity on the monitor actually is great. The doctor had said that when he was talking to him, he could actually tell by the brain monitor that he was responding to him. So I don't know. The nurse said that even possibility that they were just going to remove the brain scan completely off of him because they had noticed that he was responding on it.
So Scott is kind of more or less being treated at this point, not for COVID-19, but he's being treated for all of the abuse and damage that was done by the previous doctors at Merciless Hospital.
Yep, that's exactly right. Yep, his lungs, the physical part of the body with all the toxins and chemicals and, you know, psychotic drugs that they pumped into his body nonstop. Yeah. Wow. So that is where, and actually his carbon dioxide levels were so high it was over 100 and something when he got here. And I had told at Mercy Hospital over and over again, what are you going to do about this? They said nothing. And they were expecting his kidneys to fail and for him to die. And I said, you have to do something. And they said, oh, no, there's nothing we can do. So now this hospital where he's at right now has been giving him sodium bicarbonate or something like that. And already they're already going down tremendously. And his pH was low. Now it's up to 7.3. It was down to like 7.1. So that is up. They're still looking into a couple things as far as breaking up the fibrotic lungs. There is a couple options that he's working on right now that they've had success with other patients who have been ventilated. The other thing that they are looking into is they did a blood cultures to see if he has any kind of bacterial infection. It's going to take a couple of days to get the results back for that. And his potassium and sodium levels were high, and they gave him some diuretics. They're going to give him a LASIK. He's a little bit puffy, and his eyes open. They're fixed, but he's not as physically active as he was yesterday.
Okay. How do you feel about the care that he's getting now? I mean, the doctor, the hospital that you're at,
I actually feel like he went from the worst doctors to the absolute best doctors in the entire United States.
Wow. I'm just so happy to hear that, because this network, this family that's grown of people who are kind of coming together, this show, Attorney Renz, these doctors, this hospital, and all of the back channels stuff that has been put together to form this team of people who really just want to save lives. Now, this story has become international. I know that earlier today you were on with Glenn Beck. And correct. Your attorney, Marjorie Holston, when Sean Hannity called in, how did that go? Tell us about that.
That actually went very well. He was actually disgraced at my story and what they did to Scott in that hospital. He said, I can't believe that there was a hospital in the United States that would actually abuse somebody to try to kill him. He said, I just can't believe that would happen. And he said, but there's so many other stories all across the United States. Thousands and thousands of people are in these death hospitals where they are being deathly poisoned by these drugs, and they are not doing anything at all to pump the nutrition into them, to do all these right protocols to help save them lives.
Well, I'm glad that you went on Glenn Beck, because this program is a lot harder to find than the Glenn Becks and the Sean Hannitys of the world. But we have been on the mountaintops screaming about this now for months.
Yes.
And we're just so thankful that we have an audience like ours that was willing to take action at a time when it did. So the prognosis here from the doctor, from the hospital on Scott, are they overall optimistic? Are they feeling like eventually we'll be able to have Scott join us here on this program?
You know, he still is very critically ill, but they are saying they're going to try everything they can do to save his life. Scott is fighting. They said he's absolutely fighting. He's moving. He's trying to do things. And they said he's not giving up, and neither are we. That's what they told me.
Man. And so, and God is all over this.
Yes.
His hands are all over this situation.
Yes.
And
yes,
he's already used Scott just very much like he has used Grace, who we spoke to her father earlier, who was murdered by a hospital in Wisconsin. She had Down syndrome, a teenaged girl, very sad, murdered by this hospital. And we talked to, you know, Michaela Hughes about her son, who we feel needs to take us up on our offer and get at the hospital where you are with the doctors there. We've arranged for all this to happen, and the family is considering it. So if you were able to talk to that family, would you encourage them to make that decision?
Oh, yes, absolutely. 100%. Absolutely would. They need to as soon as possible.
Yeah, because these hospitals all over the place are doing
all this. They're going to do is what they do is it's like a time frame. You're fighting the doctors. It's like a negotiation over that person that's in your family, your loved one. And while they're negotiating with you, it's like a time frame. It's like the time is going by, and the longer you wait, the longer it's like they want to kill them.
Yeah.
You know?
The abuse and the torture just continues. The weakening of the person's body, mind, and even their soul continues to happen. And then ultimately they get to a point where they just slip away because they're not able to fight anymore. They have weaned their system completely down and abused it and trampled all over not only just rights, but their physical health.
I actually went back through Scott's records, and I want to quote something from, it was from December 22nd in Scott's chart. Okay.
All right.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
December 22nd. Let me read it here real quick here. December 22nd, there was an ethics consultation at Mercy, but Annie did attend. Current medical treatments are no longer beneficial. So in other words, they abandoned him. They abandoned him as a patient because they wanted to put him in palliative care. And I said, no, because you are not giving him other options. So basically they just abandoned him.
And then what they did is they charted that so that going back later on, it would look as if they were trying. And then they just said, this is impossible, which led them into the conversation that you recorded, the two conversations that you recorded that initially caught the attention of this program, which was, we're going to execute him on Thursday at high noon. They're scheduling these executions. As you know, we've interviewed other people from Mercy Hospital who were not so lucky. And at the same time this was happening with Scott, these other patients were being killed by these abusive protocols and this intentionally planned killing of these patients. They are denying people actual care. If Scott, how convinced are you, or what do you think would have happened if Scott would have originally been at the hospital where you are now under the care of the doctors that you are now?
Well, according to Dr. Barone, they would have taken care of him right away. He would have never went through that. He said, I would have fixed him up right away, and he would have never suffered the abuse, and they would have fixed him. They would have gave him the proper treatment that he needed, and he would have been healed right away.
So you think that we're on the money with this, that this is intentional, this is planned?
Absolutely. Oh yeah, absolutely. Actually, the day that I was trying to transfer him, it was the day before he was going to be transferred to Houston. I was at my friend's house, and we were contacting Houston Hospital to set up the transfer. And she actually got a call from one of her friends whose husband went into the hospital 5 days before that, perfectly healthy, and died that same day as I was scheduling the transfer at Mercy Hospital. Perfectly healthy.
Man. So this hospital is one of the worst of the worst. because of all the people that are dying there and the stories that we're hearing coming out of there. But this isn't just a Mercy issue, is it? I mean, this is happening all over the country. You should see my inbox, Annie. As a result of this story, this platform has now kind of been given a new direction. And we're kind of like the life-saving platform. And we're so blessed to have a family like we do in our audience. Yes, I don't think there's another program out there that boasts an audience like this one. And I know that they will appreciate your update. Is there anything that you'd like to say to them before we go? I got about a minute left here.
I just want to say thank you, because my husband would not be alive today if it wasn't for God, and it wasn't for all the viewers who contacted and flooded Mercy Hospital and told them you are, you know, imprisoning my husband and you are threatening to kill him. And if you don't, you have to stop it right now. And they made a voice out there, and use your voices out there. Do not be afraid to speak up. Do not be, seriously, do not be afraid of these big pharma, so to speak, because I'm realizing there's millions and millions of people who are in support of saving people's lives and not killing them.
Yeah. It's an amazing story. Annie, thank you so much for being here. And I know that I'll talk to you as we've been exchanging this stuff. And I know that you'll continue to update us. And thank you for allowing this story and what you're going through personally to help shake up the entire country and potentially even the entire world. Because we need to open up the doors to actual treatment and close them on this evil, nefarious plan that has been so carefully and methodically implemented to kill Americans and global citizens. Thank you. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. And thank you so much, Stu. It was good to see you again.
Of course,
thank you
too. Bye-bye.
Bless you.
You asked for it, so we delivered. The Dr. Jane Ruby Show, exclusively for premium users on redvoicemedia.com. Propaganda busting, groundbreaking interviews, and real medical truth. The Dr. Jane Ruby Show, for premium users at redvoicemedia.com. Without the Second Amendment, the rest of the Constitution is just a piece of paper. The tyrannical government has guns, and as their corrupt, bought, and paid-for narrative falls apart, they'll be more tempted to turn them on us. But don't worry, you're not alone, patriots. Buy a gun today from GunsAmerica.com, America's oldest and most trusted online platform for buying and selling the guns that keep your loved ones safe. Join the millions of gun buyers who shop there monthly. Private sellers and gun dealers, list your sales for free. No fees for transactions within 50 miles. Selling fees half the cost of auction sites. When you sign up for free at GunsAmerica.com, you get exclusive access to Guns America Digest, delivered every Monday. Honest gun reviews, firearm instruction, and wisdom from America's most popular gun writers. You also get Guns America This Week. Don't miss any important Second Amendment stories and several monthly magazines on hunting, prepping, and long-range shooting. When you sign up today at GunsAmerica.com, you get $10 off your first online gun purchase. Join the fight today at GunsAmerica.com.
Well, we saw this one coming, because every week it becomes more and more clear that these shots being falsely referred to as vaccines just haven't worked. They haven't stopped COVID from spreading or people from going to the hospital or stopped people from dying. Matter of fact, they've helped people die. And right now, Israel is the only country where lots of people are on their fourth shot, and they aren't just at the highest COVID case rate the country has ever seen. They're at one of the highest COVID case rates for any country at any point in the entire world during any point in this pandemic. But instead of backing off on these shots, the more disappointing and dangerous and deadly these shots become, the more insane and fanatical authorities get about making people take them. One of the most fanatical places of all is the Canadian province of Quebec. I guess speaking French and being Canadian isn't a great combo, but in Quebec, they require a vaccine just to set foot in a liquor store. Why? Well, just to torment people, of course. It's not like liquor stores are a hot spot for COVID. In Quebec, judges are stripping parents of visitation rights for not being vaccinated. And now there's a new strategy that Quebec is planning to impose. Deanna Lorraine is here to talk to us more about that. So what are they going to do now for the unvaccinated people who are just so dangerous?
Well, they should pay, of course, Stu. They should pay, not only emotionally, punitively, but financially now. So in Quebec, they're now announcing that they're going to be taxing the unvaxxed. You're going to have to pay an extra tax if you are unvaccinated. And the premier just said, we don't know exactly what that number is going to be, but it's going to be significant. Because why? They should pay their fair share. The unvax should be punished, and they should be paying a contribution to the rest of those good citizens that have gotten their vaccine.
The people who should be punished are the people who are perpetuating this on their citizens.
Right.
The governor of Minnesota here, for example, and anywhere else, I'm sure, are going to jump all over this tyrant train and start taxing people. And it's going to be a significant amount. How about a significant amount of jail time for Tim Walz and other governors who do this stuff and this guy up in Quebec? How about probation for the rest of their lives or worse? And let's make their lives the living hell that they've made ours. Seriously, AGs should start opening criminal investigations into any so-called governor that has participated in any of this tyranny whatsoever. And it just continues to clamp down on our personal lifestyles and everywhere, doesn't it?
Exactly. So other countries, by the way, like Australia and the rest of the sheeple, they're cheering this on, by the way. They think it's an amazing thing that the unvaccinated should be punished via a tax, a special tax, since they're such a liability. So you can expect this potentially might be coming to America. So let's talk about how this is also affecting the personal lives of people, how it's continuing to disrupt the family unit and relationships and isolating people from each other. I couldn't believe it, but there's more news on the pregnancy front. If you're a pregnant woman now, in many cities, in many countries, but also counties in the United States now, you cannot have anyone with you while you're giving birth or during labor unless they are vaccinated. If you have an unvaccinated partner, they can't be with you during labor. Here's some other things too. They have now banned, and I can't believe this is happening in America, but they have now banned husbands, partners, men from going to doctor's appointments with your with the pregnant woman. So you can't see the ultrasound anymore. You can't see the baby's heartbeat anymore. A man cannot be present during the entire pregnancy because of COVID, because there's too much of a risk of COVID being in the doctor's appointment with that woman, even though she lives with him 24/7. It doesn't get much crazier than that, but it does. And by the way, I've heard from some women too that are pregnant that are complaining about this, saying, I just want my husband to hear the baby's heartbeat, go to an OBGYN appointment, et cetera. But yet some of these doctors who are banning husbands or partners from coming into the appointments are the same ones saying, oh, but can I have my my student come and join us today to oversee, to shadow me today? You're going to have a student come in and oversee this, but you're not going to allow the husband or the partner of the baby to come in. Unbelievable. But it gets worse, Stu. I can't believe it. But I've just heard from some other pregnant women that are now saying that are some places, some cities, especially Santa Clara in California, that are not even allowing the man to join them during labor. No support person, no man, no husband can join the woman. She has to go through the birth process alone because they're too much of a risk of COVID.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people who gave birth in bathtubs and they do the, you know, water delivery or whatever that's called. And they have a midwife and all these other things. And they didn't have hospitals back in the day when kids were being born. And so I would just say to stay out of the hospital. Here's another example that I just got right now as you were talking in my inbox. Lord's Hospital in Birmingham, New York. A patient has been going there for back injections due to a car accident. During COVID, they would do the procedure with sedation and never asked about a vaccine. But yesterday, this patient went in to get her injections. The doctor asked if she was vaccinated or will be. The patient said, no, hell no. The doctor said, well, you can have the procedure and the surgery, but no sedation because you're not vaccinated. So now the choice has come down to you have to physically suffer in pain and be cut open and have surgery and injections, but no sedation because you're not vaccinated. Do the two even go together? Is this even about health and safety anymore and about being a danger to public health? Or is this just about if you're not going to take this shot and if you're not going to empower us and if you're not going to be a subservient and you're not going to bend over and cuck to big pharma and these vaccine, the new world government, which is Pfizer, then we're going to physically torture you. That's what this is. You're going to be physically tortured.
It's all about the torture. It's torture. It's punishment. It's alienation. You know, in the case where they're not getting hospital treatment or hospital services because they're unvaccinated, it's clearly punishment. In the case of a woman having to go through birth and labor alone with no husband, no support person or anyone in the hospital with them, or having the man joining them at any appointments to see the baby, it's clearly a way to ostracize and alienate them from that process, from their family unit, and to get them detached from what otherwise would be a beautiful.
Mark my words. And what's going to happen here is then you're going to have alienation between the birthing mother and the father of the expected child, because then they're going to say, well, you know, just go get the stupid shot so you can be there for, do this for your baby, do this for your family. And this is going to create more division and more division. And if you think that here in the United States, they're not looking at Quebec and saying that this needs to be done here with this tax and everything else, this is coming to blue and purple states near you. So you better get on your governors right now and make sure that they know that the entire world is watching and that you won't stand for this anymore. We talked with Candace Taylor earlier. She's running for governor in Georgia. She's the only serious candidate for governor in Georgia, by the way, because she's completely anti-RNC, anti-GOP, anti-establishment. It's a whole bunch of cuckery going on down there. The CCP basically lives in the governor's mansion of Georgia right now with Brian Kemp. And this David Perdue is no different, with all kinds of China ties and interests. And if you think that this stuff is going to stop just because a Republican is in office, No. These people are taking money from every angle of this, from China, the people who released this bioweapon in the first place, and then all the people who came through with the cure, which is these shots that have now been completely exposed as dangerous and in many cases deadly. These governors should be removing and forcefully telling people they're going to be sanctioned if they even have something so small as a separate 6 feet sticker on their floor, because it's trampling on your rights. It is not providing you with safety and or happiness. And read your state's constitution. Those are things that are inherently given to you by God. Those are your rights and they shall not be infringed. I don't know. I mean, I think that this is coming to blue states here. I've got about 30 seconds left here. I'm going to give you the final words.
It already is. Like I said, it's in California. It's in even Texas, these rules. It's other places. So to your point, if you're someone who is running for office or in office and you're not vehemently, regularly, loudly, and proudly against these things and clearly demonstrating that you are against these mandates and against these vaccines and pro-health and personal freedom, I don't want to donate to you. I don't want to vote for you. And they should not get a lick of our support.
Yeah. And this is, you said Texas, Governor Greg Abbott, right? The super conservative, President Trump endorsed fake MAGA cuck. And Dan Patrick there, same exact thing. These are establishment fossils. They're do-nothing phonies that treat politics and your freedom like pro wrestling. They already know what the outcome is, and everything else in between is just theater. And the outcome is you will have no freedom. You will have no rights. You will be taxed out of your ass unless you take this shot. And this shot will financially benefit those people that are in charge, like Greg Abbott, like Dan Patrick. And by the way, who's the opposition there for governor in Texas?
Nobody.
Exactly. So, you know, this is an establishment setup is what this is, choking everything out. And guess who's super happy about all this, by the way? Mark Zuckerberg, who just moved to Texas, by the way. And why do you think he's paying so special attention to Texas? Because he knows
that he can pollute it.
And they're going to flip that state blue. You watch. Yeah. They're going to flip Texas blue. And then if you don't think they're going to do it to Florida, mark my words, here I am, tinfoil hat, conspiracy theorist, Stu Peters, predicting, as I always do, correctly, that they're going to flip Florida blue. You watch. It's going to happen. They're going to trample your rights there, too, unless you stand up. The power inherently belongs to we the people, and it's about damn time, past time, that we take it back. Deanna Lorraine, she is hosting Shots Fired on the Stu Peters Network over at StuPeters.com. That show is coming up at the beginning of February, and we can't wait to have you. Thanks so much for being here today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Sue.
Branch Covidians have turned our cities into super shedder capitals. The jabs have become self-spreading bioweapons, threatening the purebloods.
I was incapacitated. I was literally laying down the entire day with a terrible migraine. I actually passed clots, which obviously is insanely alarming.
Clots?
Yes.
The clot shot is ending careers, detonating bombs in the brains of pilots.
Dozens, maybe north of 100 commercial airline pilots have died within just a few days of being vaccinated. Dead.
But don't despair. There's an answer to protect you and your kids from the chimerically engineered symptoms. Forget the forever boosters. Fortify your immune system today with the Z-Stack from Dr. Zev Zelenko. One pill formula taken twice a day. Everything you need to fight back against bioweapons, RSV, and influenza B. ZStackProtocol.com. Stock up now. Be prepared. Stand ready. ZStackProtocol.com. Give the most of Red Voice Media
by Going Premium.
Exclusive behind-the-scenes content,
one-on-one extended hard-hitting interviews with Stu Peters,
and deep-dive investigative reports.
All always 100% ad-free when you become a premium member.
Always 100% America first.
True conservative values.
Action-based reporting with courage.
100% ad-free content,
including the headlines mainstream media won't touch.
Uncensored.
Unafraid.
Unstoppable.
RedVoiceMedia.com/premium.
RedVoiceMedia.com/premium.
Go right now to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Again, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com, because immediately following this broadcast, Carlos Cortez is going to be teaching you for free all of the things that you need to know. He joins us now, Carlos Cortez, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Your free class, people can do it from their underwear, they can do it from their home, from their car, on their smartphone, on their computer, in the bathroom, wherever. And what are you going to be teaching them tonight?
Thanks, Stu. Yes, it's very concerning right now to a lot of our patriotic listeners. They don't know what to do when the stock market is in correction mode, when we have shocking inflation numbers. All these concerns that we're talking about, should we buy gold? Should we buy Bitcoin? All these legitimate concerns during a incompetent dementia Joe patient of a quantity president error. We have to understand that you need to control your assets. We're going to be teaching that on AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com tonight at 7 p.m.
Get there right now. Go to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Again, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Do not miss that. Right after this show is when it's going to be done. Until tomorrow, at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. I'll be praying for all of you. One day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio!